I broke Arizona records.
Rod.
I went to Arizona State.
Rod.
I'm a Sun Devil, man.
State of the Sun Devils from Arizona Sports with Jesse Morrison, Jeremy Schnell, and Jake Anderson.
Hello and welcome into the third ever edition of State of the Sun Devils podcast here on Arizona Sports. Alongside Jesse Morrison and Jake Anderson, I'm Jeremy Schnell. Jesse, is it a great day to be a Sun Devil?
Not really.
Why?
Because the wide receivers are dropping passes and N'Keal Harry hurt his ankle really bad.
Yeah, let's talk about N'Keal for 1 minute, and then we'll get to this year's edition of the Sun Devils. N'Keal Harry suffered a high ankle sprain. It's not as bad as people thought it was going to be at first. People thought it could be season-ending. Now, high ankle sprains could lead to season-ending. You know, there's hard rehab processes and all that stuff.
A lot of times
stuff.
It's 6 to 8 weeks.
Right. So, and that, you know, if you do the math, NFL seasons, how many weeks? There's 18 weeks and 17 of those are games.
I mean, including preseason?
That's a lot of games. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see if N'Keal can come back from this, Jesse.
Yeah, it's just another roadblock.
Yeah.
I feel like in his rookie season, he missed time with injury. Last year, he missed time with injury. And he's been inconsistent on the field. So it's just...
It's not that. They just misused him.
That's what you say. I think he's struggled to find separation, and he's also been misused.
But if they use him like the Saints use Michael Thomas, who doesn't have the speed to go over the top all the time, like you use him as a slant guy, then it's fine.
Yeah, but he was a first-round pick wide receiver that's supposed to be a game-breaker.
Anyway, N'Keal...
But I hope for the best for him, obviously.
Well, they got drafted by the Patriots, which didn't help, and they have a history, obviously, of not selecting good skill position players early on.
Yeah, no. It takes them until the fifth round.
Brady. Exactly. They find former quarterbacks that end up being their
Edelman.
Best wide receivers. Yes, exactly.
Here's Ian Rappaport real quick talking about N'Keal Harry's injury and what it might mean for his road to recovery.
Frustrating situation for N'Keal Harry, the former Patriots first rounder trying to kickstart his career in Chicago. Source says that he is dealing with a high ankle sprain. Left practice early yesterday. He's going to see a specialist, likely Dr. Robert Anderson, the nation's foremost expert on feet. Now, when you need a diagnosis, you wonder how long you're going to be out. That's the guy to see. That is where
N'Keal
Harry's film is headed, and likely where Harry is headed himself. If that is the case, this is a significant injury, one that almost certainly sidelines players about 6 weeks. And if you're N'Keal Harry, you're trying to show the new staff that you have the talent to not just contribute a lot, but just stay on the field. This is a tough, tough circumstance. Still waiting on the firm and final diagnosis, but high ankle sprain, not good for a receiver. Frustrating.
Okay, so...
Podiatrist.
I hope N'Keal's good. I hope he gets back. I hope he can make the team despite the injury. I hope they keep him around because he probably is going to miss the rest of training camp. But
yeah,
the nation's biggest expert on feet is one of the funniest lines I've heard in a really long time.
Like Dr. James Andrews, he's an expert on Tommy John surgery.
So I apologize for the laughing in the background there, but like that line is just funny by Ian there.
Yeah.
Love rap sheet.
Now let's move on to things that are happening here in the state of Arizona at Arizona State University. Herm Edwards says the team is closer to naming a starting quarterback. Jesse, you think it's Trent Borgay? Do you think that it's Emory Jones? Who could it be, Jesse?
I think it's going to be Emory Jones.
Whoa, big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
It's a big deal for me.
Yeah. Jesse might lose a bet, guys. Jake?
Two bets, technically.
Jake, who has stood out to you? I know you've been at camp a little bit over the past couple of weeks. I know it started last week. So what have you seen?
I think the biggest thing I've seen is that Emory clearly has the best arm of the three that are competing for the starting job right now. Especially on the small to intermediate routes, he zips it in there to the point where Like I do know some quarterbacks in the past where you've heard receivers complain about warming up with them because they literally just throw a fastball at you, and that's kind of the zip that Emery has. He also has a lot more, you can see it, comfortable throwing on the run, which I think is going to be advantageous for Arizona State, who has only two returning offensive linemen and Ben Scott's moving from right tackle to center. The three guys who are going to be starting as well are all transfers, so they do have experience, but with, you know, let's say a play action, you know, like a naked Budo, when your back's to the defense to suck in the safeties, and then you're rolling out with that naked protection that has nobody there, you can scramble out and then still make an accurate throw. The one thing I will say, though, is accuracy issues for every quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not that they've been inaccurate. It's just been inconsistent. Like, sometimes you're like, wow, that's a really nice throw. And then other times it's like, ooh, that's way too high. You missed him there. You should have hit him, whatever it may be.
And that'll come, though, because these quarterbacks haven't had these receivers for their whole time here at ASU. Like, there's a couple guys that have been here for a couple of years, but most of them are new, and these quarterbacks are new.
Well, yeah, and just with that, none of these receivers have caught balls from these quarterbacks until camp, and then none of them caught a ball from Emery until he got here, and that was after spring ball.
Yep.
I just hate the word inconsistent from a passer, because we've had the most inconsistent passer at Arizona State the past couple of years, where some throws would be right on the money. It would be a 50-yard touchdown, and some throws would be all over the place. So, yeah, I just don't want another Jaden Daniels situation where it's who knows what you're getting from the quarterback position.
I will say, though, that we saw it a lot last year with his ball, Jaden's ball, kind of floated, right? Like, it was more about touch, and he didn't really have.
But the problem was that he had the zip. He was able to throw it that hard, and he just didn't.
From what I've seen, Emery's got no problem zipping it to his teammates. So, and as Jesse alluded to, that he doesn't like to drop passes. It's also the receiver's got to catch the ball, you know. So it's a little of both, right? They got to help each other out and make some plays, even when you got, you know, a 6'4 corner on you like Roe Torrens. You know, these are big, taller corners they're going against in practice, and the defense was really good last year. So maybe that these bigger corners will help these receivers and pass catchers be able to adapt, and maybe if they face a smaller corner or smaller DB this season, they're able to basically, you know, come up with a catch.
Here's Herm Edwards talking about drop passes.
Too many drop balls today. We got a lot of drop footballs today. It looked like me trying to catch the ball. No, I shouldn't say that. I could catch the ball, actually, so I'm not going to put that on me. But we got to catch it, and I think a lot of it has to do with tight coverage. Quarterback's trying to fit it in there, and we've been very fortunate. You know, we've been a good cover team, so they got to realize some of these guys that haven't been here in the past, that you're going to get tight coverage and you have to make those catches. But we have way too many drops.
That's intriguing to hear about the tight coverage, though, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense is going to be pretty good this year. I'm not as concerned with the defense as I am with the offense. That's why I just haven't really wanted to talk that much about the defense. I'm interested in the offense and what the offense has to do this year.
Yeah, and we're talking about this. We've talked about it for the past couple episodes, and we're going to talk about it again today. Run the ball.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
Yep.
That's going to lead to some big play options that if you're consistently running the ball down the field, it's going to lead to things opening up in the passing game.
And it's going to lead to them taking time off of the clock.
Yeah, and that's a big deal when you have a team that may be a little inconsistent on offense, Jake.
Yeah, and with a Herm Edwards team, obviously, running the football is going to be the first and foremost paramount thing of getting the offense established. And, you know, we keep talking about the 1-2 punch, and they being able to finally see them and see what they can do with pads on and when they're hitting each other. And granted, it's more of a thud tempo, but still, Xavien Valade, who just goes by X, and Daniel Nagata, I think it's going to be an impressive 1-2 punch. I really think they're going to have a decent success in the run game. But we have no idea what we're going to get from the pass catchers just because we haven't seen them do it yet. So that's the one thing I'm kind of looking forward to in terms of a development.
All right. So I want to see something.
What?
The wishbone.
Why?
Stop.
You got Xavien Valade.
He did bring up Navy and Army last week.
That's a triple option, though. I want to see the
Do you
the
know
wishbone.
Why the military schools run option, though?
Why?
Because their linemen are severely undersized. Because they have to be able to be in their specific academy.
Yeah, I think I knew that. But that's not that's not the offense I'm talking about. I'm talking about fullback behind the quarterback.
How many fullbacks are on this roster, Jake?
Case Hatch.
Case Hatch actually was running some routes. I think he might actually get some
tight end.
Think about it. Case Hatch right
behind.
Well,
he'll be the fullback still, but he might get some opportunities to catch the ball.
Case Hatch behind the quarterback. Valaday, Ngata, same backfield. I run the ball 80% of the time. What's wrong with that?
And I heard
we've all had our crazy takes on this show.
Jake, you alluded to it. Xavier Valaday, is he going by X for sure now? Like, is that a thing that's on the roster and everything? Like,
so it's actually on the sheet that they gave us, the roster sheet, which is both alpha and numerical. But you can hear it all the time. That's just what they call him, is X.
Okay, is this a Chip Traynham situation where it's Chip 1 year and Diamante the next year?
Well, I think that his name is legitimately Diamante Chip Traynham, and Chips being the nickname. But here you're just taking Xavier and you're just saying X instead of his full name.
Yeah, but they wanted us to write the name Chip 2 years ago.
Well, I remember
last year they didn't.
Last year the TV people actually asked him in the beginning of the season. He literally said, "I don't care." So to the media, for us, it was kind of like, okay, well, we can switch it up then.
Okay.
I always included the full thing, but I mean, obviously, he's playing linebacker now at Ohio State, so.
We'll get to Jake's writing in a little bit, but Herm Edwards did talk about a little bit about Paul Tyson and Borgé and Emory Jones, and I want to get his thoughts on where this team is going to go at starting quarterback.
We'll probably make an announcement here shortly. I got an idea, but I don't want the opponent to know. They can study for all four of them.
Which opponent is he talking about? Oklahoma State? Is he talking about NAU?
Are they going to start a different quarterback against NAU that they're going to start against Oklahoma State?
I would love to see Paul Tyson against
NAU. He'll probably get it. But this is what makes no sense to me. So there's a smokescreen for NAU? Like, again, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Why not?
Because it's just, they're an FCS program in the Big Sky that is like a middling FCS program. Big Sky's a good conference.
Put some respect on the Big Sky. Montana beat Washington last year.
I agree, but still.
Put your coaching hat on for just half a second.
Yeah, me, football coach.
If you're Oklahoma State's defensive coordinator, granted, you're not going to be planning out way in advance, but if I know Emory Jones is the starting quarterback already, I can then be like, okay, well, week two for us, we know we're facing a dual threat quarterback, whereas we only get a week's notice, or maybe 2 weeks' notice, because we'll find out probably a week before NAU. So you get 2 weeks' notice of, hey, this is your first actual test of a Power 5 team that's genuine competition.
But still, the coaches will tell you we're only focused on the week ahead of us.
What they tell us and what they do internally is completely different. I just don't get why would Herm tell us? What advantage does ASU get? He's only hurting his own team by revealing his starting quarterback early.
Well, I mean, yeah, he doesn't tell us, but does it give the confidence to that one guy that, hey, everyone knows I'm the starter.
They
now
might internally have already discussed this.
But do those guys want everyone in the world to know? I feel like they would. They would be like, yeah, I'm the starting quarterback at a Division I school.
If you've been told you're the starting quarterback, but you have to keep it keep it hushed for another 2 weeks, what is that going to hurt you? Just focus on your craft, get better. It's going to come out that you're the starter. Because it doesn't matter. Once you take the field, that's when we'll know. But if you, let's say I'm Emory Jones, and I know I'm the starting quarterback, but I've been told, do not say anything.
Could I go home and tell my dog about it, though? Like, could I go home and tell my parents about it? Like, would that be okay?
You could, and that's how stuff gets leaked, because, you know, three can keep a secret if two are dead.
My son is the starting quarterback at Arizona State, and then people are, yeah, I get it. But
yeah, but my thing is, like, don't college coaches only need 1 week to prepare for an opponent?
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm looking at this. Let's say, I mean, they've probably already done it, but let's say you know for a fact Emory Jones already is a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
If I'm a defensive assistant, like, and I'm talking like a grad assistant, like I'm not a head honcho guy, it's, okay, well, we know we got to get some film on Emory just to see what he's like as a quarterback. Let's start getting that going. That way we can prepare. And that way, as soon as they're done with Central Michigan, I think their first game is Oklahoma State, they're already going to be on to the next team, which is an actual, you know, a better opponent, in my opinion. And again, it's not going to be so much the 2 weeks that they don't need to absolutely game plan, but just why would you give your opponent any advantage?
But,
at all.
But right now they would just be watching Emory Jones film from Florida, which wouldn't really make any sense because he'd be running Arizona State's offense. It just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, you can see his cues. You can see what he does with the ball. You can see how much of an arm strength he has. Do you need to play tighter coverage? Can you give a little less coverage because you have time to make up on his passes because they would float, whereas that would be more of a Jaden Daniels situation. It's asinine to tell your opponent anything.
I agree, but I just think
before you play them.
I just think game planning for or setting a smoke screen for week two just doesn't make that much sense because also they don't set smoke screens for the rest of the season. Like all the rest of the Pac-12 opponents that they play and Eastern Michigan, they're going to know who the starting quarterback is and they're going to prepare for that quarterback. So it just doesn't make much sense to me. I don't know.
But you're acting like they're doing this out of like enjoyment, like they're having a fun time with the quote unquote smoke screen. When legitimately, it's
I
just
think
like
they are. 100%.
When it's just like
smoke
hey,
screens
like,
are fun. Come on,
we're just gonna play around with this. We know what we're doing in house, and we have no obligation to tell you anything. They could lie to us. They don't have to tell us the truth.
I like people telling me the truth. I don't know about you, Jake.
You could say Brock Osweiler is a starting quarterback. For
Brock Weiler.
All they want. You know, like
Brock Weiler. Love that guy.
Former Miami Dolphin.
Really nice person.
He really is.
You see what I'm saying? Like it to me it's not that big of a deal that they're doing this. They're gonna name the quarterback. Herm had a smirk. You could even hear it through the audio when he said it.
I said he keeps smiling every time he thinks about Emory Jones.
They know who their quarterback is. There's just no competitive advantage. He even said it. Make him prepare for all four. And to be quite honest, I don't know who that fourth is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Because yeah, there's six of them, so there could be a three-way race for fourth. I think Trenton's the third.
Before we move on from the QB discussion, we talked a little bit about the chemistry and receivers dropping passes and things of that nature. Here's Emory Jones talking about kind of the chemistry that he's been building with his teammates at this point right now.
I mean, I'm a big guy that likes to go talk to people like one-on-one, and that's what I do a lot. I mean, that's probably the hardest thing, but it's not. I mean, it's not been pretty bad. Like everybody's been really attentive and they've been listening and locking in on everything.
So he's trying to be a leader in this team.
It's not been pretty bad. That's encouraging, I guess.
Hey, he's saying that it's a lot on him to be able to go to each and every guy on the team. He's saying like it's a lot of people. So
yeah.
He tries to get to everyone. He likes to have one-on-ones with everyone. So that's what he's trying to articulate.
That's good. Leader.
Yeah. You like that, Jesse?
I do. That's Joe Burrow. He's a leader. Tom Brady, he's a leader. All the best quarterbacks in NFL history have been probably the best leaders on their team.
Tua Tagovailoa, great leader. let's talk about the uniforms real quick, Jesse.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about this? Like, can we get into this?
So Jesse's a big uniform guy.
I am.
I'm of the opinion, and Jake, tell me if I'm wrong here. I'm of the opinion that I don't care what the players wear. It's not the look good, play good thing. It's just they're going on the field and they're playing football. I don't care what they're wearing. They probably don't even care what they're wearing.
No, I think they care what they're wearing. There's a reason why certain schools recruit better than other schools.
I mean, they definitely care what they're wearing, but it shouldn't be like the end all be all. Like, the end of the day, A, the uniform's going to get dirty, but B, it's all about what you do on the field. But at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily want to see Arizona State go out with uniforms I don't like.
Jesse,
I mean,
how many national championships does Oregon have?
Not one that I can remember.
Right, but their jerseys, everybody talks about them, right?
Yep.
They get new uniforms every game. Why does it matter? It doesn't. It doesn't matter. They haven't won a national championship.
I also hate their uniforms like over the past 5 years. I think they're terrible.
Right, but it's a big recruiting tool, everybody
it is.
Says.
It is a big recruiting tool.
I don't believe that.
I mean, they do go to the Pac-12 championship a lot more than some other schools.
Have they won a national championship?
No. They just won the Rose Bowl, though, a couple years ago.
Okay. That has nothing to do with the Fiesta Bowl the year after. It doesn't have anything to do with uniforms, though.
Well, if the players, if they're good, high school, look good, play good. I think it is. Deion said it.
As long as Deion Sanders prime time.
Coach Prime.
As long as Coach Prime says it.
Okay. Well, anyway, I want to get into these ASU uniforms.
Yeah, if you haven't seen them,
go to ASU underscore uniformity on Twitter. He has posted a picture of them, and don't look at the helmets. The helmets could be different, but they're like a grayish sand color with
beautiful.
They remind me of the D-backs La Sorpientes.
I like those uniforms in these. I don't know why, but
I think it's the clash. Like maybe maroon
or, yeah,
or black would work better,
yes,
for the numbers.
There you go. You found what I was looking for that I don't like. So number one, I don't like the cursive though, or whatever that is. I don't know if it's cursive, just like the kind of squiggly writing on the front that says Sun Devils. And then, yeah, the gold just doesn't work to me. And I really hope they don't wear these a lot this year. I hope it's a one-off thing because, you know, in my now sixth year paying attention to Arizona State football, I'm going to say least favorite uniforms they've worn in my sixth and my now their sixth year watching their team.
Did you not see ASU Uniformity's two tweets in the last 5 hours?
I've not.
So they're very cryptic. They even said so themselves. They're basically like a graphic. The first one is, imagine like a wave that goes up and down. The top is white and the bottom is maroon. Then they tweeted another one that is basically kind of looks like a ramp. And the main of it is maroon. There's a little slash of gold in the middle. And then the bottom half of it is white. Absolutely no idea what that could be. But they're tweeting it and they just want reactions out of people.
If this is like a number or a logo or something,
looks good.
It looks good. Yeah, I'm liking that.
Honestly, it looks like potentially pant designs.
I think it's a uniform. I think it's a jersey with a number.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah, that too.
Here's the thing. I will say this. This is the first uniform they've worn since I've been here that I don't like. Like, I think that Arizona State has some of the most fire uniforms in the country. But they need to step it up from this one.
Shout out Adidas.
Yeah, I think Adidas does really well with their uniforms in college.
Roma's about to become Adidas.
You needed to throw that in there.
We got the Roma references and the Miami Dolphins references. I'm trying to keep away from my pro sports allegiances here.
Who cares?
Shout out Curtis Hodges, though, on the Commanders. We'll go through, right before the NFL starts, some of the teams and look at the League Devils.
As we opened up with a Chicago Bear.
Yep.
But
that's a big story that's related to Arizona State.
Yeah, here's another League Devil. I was able to go out to Cards training camp today, and we heard from Eno Benjamin at training camp today. And it was interesting because people ask questions about Herm all the time. And I think this was a very, very well put thing that Eno said about how Herm kind of prepared him for the NFL.
I was a star running back there, starting running back there. And so my mindset, even to this point now, is every time I go in, I'm the starting running back. And so I felt like that transition has kind of helped me prepare me as far as being able to go out there and play on the field.
And he said Herm gave him that mindset of, you know, being the guy. You're the guy. Go out and be the guy.
He was the guy at ASU.
Yeah, and now he's going to prepare like that here in his third season. Didn't play at all in his first season.
Yeah.
Got playing time last year, scored an awesome touchdown against the 49ers, and now looks like to be RB2 for the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to see how, you know, he's developed in the NFL. I thought he was going to be a pretty good pro. He's the kind of running back that you want these days. Can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yep, he talked about that as well.
Can run the ball really well. Is a tough runner.
You want
tough runners. Derrick Henry is a tough runner. He's not that kind of tough because he's not 6'4", 240, which is ridiculous. I don't know if you guys have seen just like video from Titans training camp. It's just like that dude is insane.
You digress.
I do digress. But yeah, I mean, I thought Eno went way too late in the draft. I thought that his rookie season he should have played more. I thought last year he should have played more. But this year I think they're finally seeing, or he's finally showing what Cliff and the Cardinals coaching staff needs to see to be, you know, a guy that's really going to contribute for that team.
To the overall point, though, Jake, and there's been a lot of things said about Herm Edwards the past few years after the allegations came out, which we're still waiting to see what the sanctions may or may not be here for ASU for the allegations. But a lot of things have been said about Herm, and you hear nothing but good things said about him for players that go to the league or move on to different things.
Well, I think it's because, and you can see it with the hiring of Marvin Lewis and Brian Billick. I mean, they're still a pro model here. Like, these guys, their lives are forever changed because it's not going to work out for everyone. We know that. I mean, we had 11 go last year, which is a lot. So you have guys who are living their dream, and it's because they had a coach that believed in them more than anybody else. And when they take advantage of that opportunity, you can see what happened. I mean, I'm sure if we talked to Rashad White right now, you know, with the Bucks, like, he would probably say the same thing. You know, just talking about another Sun Devil running back that's now in the NFL.
That's so, another crazy story about where he came from and how he got to ASU.
And so,
it was with a D2 school.
Yeah. With all these transfers now, I mean, let's just say one of them does make it out. You're talking about guys who were in community colleges, JUCOs, you know, not necessarily the biggest of programs, and can come to Arizona State, which, you know, history says we're an above average program, you know, over the course of time, and has produced some decent NFL talent over the years. So it's just fulfilling those dreams. And if it does work out for you, it can't work out for everybody, but if it does work out for you, you're going to be thankful for the person who gave you that opportunity. Because, I mean, Herm was playing guys as freshmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merlin, still here.
He should be in the league.
It's funny because Marvin Lewis was talking about Merlin, and not that they were comparing him to
Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah. So not that Marvin was comparing him to Vontaze, but they were saying that the difference between them is the reason why Vontaze was so ready at coming out of college was because he didn't have to think. He just did it. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, Vontaze got a screw loose, obviously, in the way he plays football. I think you kind of have to when you're a linebacker. But they were saying that Merlin's body has never been better. This is the greatest shape he's ever been in. And Herm Edwards has also talked about how good of a father he is. So he's a good man, and he's also prepared himself better than he's ever been. So I'd expect big things out of Merlin Robertson this year, and hopefully he can go to the league and, as Jesse says, be another league devil.
All right, before we get out of here, this is a new segment. I'm all for self-deprecating humor, guys, and I don't read very much. I do like to read
tweets.
That's not true.
You read tweets.
I like to read tweets.
There you go.
I'm a straight and to the point guy. I want my news, and I want it now. But I need to read things to set up things in this podcast. And our very good friend here, Jake Anderson, he writes about Arizona State football. And this is a new segment we like to call, Did Jeremy Read Jake's Stuff?
Did you?
Let's see. Here's a headline from yesterday. Offense adding new wrinkles, defense pretty much set. Okay, so here's what the article's about.
Okay, to clarify here, Jeremy can read, though. Like, he just read that. He just chooses not to.
Right, I got better things to do. No offense, Jake. So offense adding new wrinkles, defense pretty much set. So I think this article, I read it. This article is about the offense is going to do the wishbone.
What?
And the defense pretty much set, but there could be, you know, Merlin could do some things that we don't know. You know.
You didn't read it.
The next article, Herm Edwards to announce ASU starting, Arizona State Sun Devils starting quarterback shortly. That was also yesterday, August 8th. I think this is about Trent Borgay and possibly him being the starting quarterback.
You read anything?
What? What'd I do? QB battle continues. This is from August 6th. Ladarius Henderson, an on-field coach. Okay. So this is about... I know for sure that this is about Emory Jones, Trent Borgay, and Paul Tyson. That we know. Now, Ladarius Henderson, he's been at ASU for 3 years?
He's been here for a minute.
Yeah, I think this is his fourth season if you count 2020.
So would that have been in the article?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the last one, this was from August.
His highly touted rankings as a guard in the pack, he only allowed one sack. He only allowed 10 QB pressures. That's top 50 in the entire nation.
Arizona State's secondary to utilize length, Jordan Clark at safety. Okay. So did Clark play corner previously?
Yep.
And now he's playing safety?
So
I feel like I read that article.
Well, so I think this is what Jeremy's trying to do.
He doesn't read anything I write, and I'll explain it in 10 seconds, because basically Jordan can play a combination of things. I think they're going to use him as a slot corner slash safety, because you could really mix up some looks if you're actually playing zone and you have him lined up over, and maybe he backs up to 10 yards and then drops back deep. Although ASU does like to play a lot of man. So it'll be interesting, because if you could use him as both a corner and a safety, you can really disguise who your safety is if you kept him a little closer to the box.
Right? Yeah, and that's all in the article that I read on ArizonaSports.com.
No, so this is what I think Jeremy's saying. He thinks he can just know what an article's about if he reads the headline.
My favorite type of person, headline readers.
It's me. You got to grab
Jeremy
me.
Reads.
If you grab me, I will read the whole thing.
I can't do anything more than give you the article. Like, if you don't click it and read it, I can't help you.
This is what Jeremy does. He reads the headline and then comments something on Twitter, and then you have to click see reply because it's got stuff in it that, you know, isn't supposed to be public. That's what Jeremy does.
Final thing before we go. Jesse is our women's basketball correspondent. He covers the Sun Devils women's basketball team. And a former ASU women's basketball coach has something cool that she announced a couple of days ago or yesterday.
Yeah, well, so Ann Myers Drysdale is going to be at Bill Russell's funeral, RIP Bill Russell. So CTT is going to fill in for her as the color analyst on the Mercury broadcast on Bally Sports Extra tomorrow. So
love that.
I found that to be pretty cool. That's going to be cool. This is, I think, what CTT is trying to do in her next chapter is broadcasting. She said that in her press conference back in March when she retired. So yeah, I think this is kind of the first foray, and then we might see her on the Pac-12 Network, we might see her on ESPN, who knows? But this kind of gives her a clip to get out there, which will be cool. You know, she's a legendary coach. She's always been great with the media. So, you know, I think she could be a really interesting broadcaster.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big ups to Charlie Turner Thorne. It'll be really cool to hear on the broadcast. That'll do it for State of the Sun Devils podcast. Thank you so much for listening. For Jake Anderson and Jesse Morrison, I'm Jeremy Schnell. Have a good night.
Ciao.